I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me once again today for It's a Good Life. It's so good to be able to speak with you and share these things with you from the Word of God. And I pray for you. I may not know you by name, but I pray for each person who listens to this program. You say, how do you pray for each person who listens? I pray that God would bless each individual who tunes into this program. And I pray that, first of all, that you know Jesus as your Savior. Then I pray that those people around you would trust Christ as Savior. And I pray that each one of us would live for the glory and honor of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we want to look in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 32. Despising the soul. Let me encourage you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to download this program, and also you'll be able to listen to it again, and you'll be able to download a transcript of this program, a written transcript of this program, and other programs of It's a Good Life. And we appreciate so much the Ministry of Bible Transcripts. It's BibleTranscripts.com. Go to that website, if you would, and look at BibleTranscripts.com. If you have need of having something transcribed, go to BibleTranscripts.com, and they'll take care of that for you. We thank those folks so much for writing the transcripts of It's a Good Life. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 32, it says, he that refuseth instruction despises his own soul. Now, in this section of Scripture, Solomon, in a few words, gives an account of those people he found that he could not help. Why? Because they made their silliness visible to all men. They refuse instruction or guidance, and by doing this, they show that they despise their own souls. We see people like that today. Well, let's look at some ways the soul is despised. Some despise the soul in their opinion of it. One opinion is that nothing exists but what can be seen. You've heard the old illustration, I can't see my brain, so therefore I don't have a brain. Does that mean I don't have a brain? Well, some people act like they don't have a brain, and I believe all of us have been kidded about that time or two in our lives. We can't see the brain, so therefore we act like we don't have one, so therefore we must not have a brain. Well, that doesn't mean it does not exist. I can't see my heart, but I know I'm alive because I have to have a heart. The soul does exist, but some despise the soul in their opinion of it, that they say that it doesn't exist because it can't be seen. Another opinion is that the soul is not intelligent. Some think if they deny that the soul is not capable of salvation or condemnation, that they will not have to answer to God about neglecting salvation. They just sort of push it aside and say, oh, well, I'm not going to have to give an account because the soul doesn't really exist. And then others deny the immortality of the soul. And these are those people who despise their souls and that they can justify themselves in living like beasts because they reason that they will die like beasts. In other words, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. Living only for the moment. Living for the day, living for the good time. Well, some not only despise the soul in their opinion of it, but some despise the soul in practice. They abuse the soul. And the soul is abused when it is devoted to the service of the devil. When we serve the devil instead of serving God. Now, the Bible says that if you're not for God, you're against him. And if you're against God, that means you're serving the devil. And we need to understand that today. We should not hesitate to let people know that if they're not for God, they're against Him. We need to let every person we come into contact with know that they need to be serving God. Well, they abuse the soul not only by devoting their time and their efforts to the devil, but they also abuse the soul when it is defiled with the pollutions of sin. Also when it is deceived by lies. Also when it is excessively satisfied by the world. Well, notice something else. There is a hazard or a risk to the soul. It is risked when exposed to the wrath of God by willful sin. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." God loves you. God loves me. God loves the individuals in this world. And He wants them to understand. He wants us to understand that there's a hazard. There's a risk. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There's a hazard also when a life is built upon the sand instead of upon the rock. The rock, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, the Bible says. We also see that the soul is risked when it is placed in jeopardy for the things of the world. Love not the things of the world, the Bible says, but we are to love the things of God. Well, the person who despises his soul neglects to take care of the sin wounds. They fail to get the wants of the soul supplied. They fail to guard their soul. They neglect the soul's eternal welfare. There's something missing in their life, and that's because they're neglecting the soul. And those who despise their soul considers the body more important than the soul. We may go to the gym 3 times a day, 7 days a week. We may drink all and eat all of the vitamins that we can find. But the body was made to serve the soul, not the things of the world. That those who despise their soul uses it to please the body. In other words, if it feels good, do it. We need to understand that simply by devoting ourselves, by building up the body and keeping the body healthy, that is doing nothing to keep the soul healthy. Notice something else here. There is a silliness of despising the soul. This is seen when we consider the nature of the soul. First of all, the soul is divine in origin. In other words, in its beginning. The soul was not made of dust as the body was, but was the breath of Almighty God. It had the image of God stamped on it and is the masterpiece of God's workmanship on the earth. The soul can know God. The soul is capable of talking with God. The soul is capable of being set apart for the use of God by the Holy Spirit. We also see that the soul is capable of self-consciousness. Self-consciousness is in the nature of the soul. Notice the silliness of despising the soul is also seen when we consider the nearness of the soul. It's man's possession. It is man's possession. Our soul is our own. We are entrusted with it as God has committed it to us to be used by us for His honor and glory. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says that everything was created for God and His honor and His glory. Everything was created for God, and that includes our soul. The soul is the man himself. That's the real person. That's the real woman. The woman or man is a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "Man became a living soul." Man and woman became a living soul. The silliness of despising the soul is also seen when we consider the purchase price of the soul. It cannot be bought with silver or gold, according to the Scriptures, 1 Peter 1:18. Silver and gold could not satisfy the desires of a soul or its needs. Neither silver nor gold, money, take care of the sins of the soul. We cannot be redeemed with corruptible things. The soul can only be bought by the blood of Christ. Christ gave Himself, His own precious blood, to be a ransom for the soul. He paid the price. Christ made His soul an offering for ours. Nothing less could buy souls back out of the hands of divine judgment. God says there must be a price paid, and Jesus paid that price. Nothing else could save the soul from eternal ruin other than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His blood. Many things can be said about the silliness of despising the soul. The silliness of soul is seen when we think about the plans made concerning the soul. The Holy Spirit strives with men's souls to save them. The devil goes about constantly trying to damn and destroy the soul. We look at the projects of God, how that we think about the great plans that have been carried out by God because of His great love for souls. He sent His Son to seek and to save lost souls. He's given His Spirit to work upon our spirits and to witness to others. He has appointed ministers of the gospel to watch for your souls. The projects of Satan. Think about the plans and devices Satan uses to ruin souls. All the forces of the powers of darkness are kept constantly busy warring against the soul, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. The silliness of despising the soul is seen when we consider how long the soul will be alive. The fact of the soul's continual existence is seen. We need to understand today that the soul is immortal. It will last forever somewhere. The spirit of a man is that candle of the Lord, which will never be blown out or burnt out. The place of the continual existence of the soul will not only live and act when separated from the body, but it must be somewhere forever. Now, folks, there's everlasting happiness or everlasting misery. It's designed for souls in the other world according to their character in this and according as they are found at death. Let's not despise our souls. Let's devote ourselves to God. How do you devote yourself to God? First, you must receive Christ as your Savior. You cannot please God unless you have been born again. Nicodemus came to Jesus in chapter 3 of John and says, "How can a man be born again when he is old?" Jesus said, "You must be born again. You must believe. You must trust. For God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, according to John 3:16. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, the Bible says in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is your soul calling out to God, "Lord, forgive me. Save me so I can bring honor and glory to You, not only now, but later on when I see You face to face and I can say, 'Lord, thank You for saving me.'" And you can do that personally one day if you ask Him into your heart right now. "Lord, come into my heart. I turn from my sin and I receive You as my Lord and my Savior." Why not do that today? Ask Him to save you and He'll come into your heart. Well, until the next time when you hear me say, "It's a good life." May the Lord bless you richly is my prayer.